Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. Today I'm going to go to the book of Revelation chapter 20. We have been discussing the whole series of the book of Revelation. And now we come to chapter 20. And this chapter 20 is going to summarize for us the timetable of God concerning the devil and what we happen to the spirit called Satan that we all have heard about, called Lucifer. Let's read it here in chapter 20. And this brings us back to the book of Genesis. It will try to point to us who is that serpent that came and deceived the mankind through a snake, and who came and deceived Eve, and what was the whole motive for Satan doing that. And this is what the chapter 20 is trying to give to us in another form of a summary. Here I read, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Let's stop right there and look at these first two verses. He said, just an angel came. I didn't say a mighty, powerful angel. So you have to realize that that devil called Satan is just nothing before God. He is a non-entity. Don't be afraid of him if you are a believer, if you are a Christian. Because just look, just any angel bound him. He said, an angel came down. He didn't say a mighty angel. He didn't say a mighty guy, archangel. He just said, an angel came down. So that, in a way, God wrote it that way so that you and me, as a believer, that read this, we'll be able to see your position as a son of God, as a child of the Most High God, that you are going to be better than angels. Then why should you be afraid of Satan or the devil or the serpent or the Lucifer that we say is troubling the world? Why should you be afraid of him if he's just like a nobody? If just any angel can bound him and put him in the bottomless pit, like you see here in chapter 20. So be confident that following the Lord Jesus Christ, you are more than conquerors, like the Bible has said. Let's read on again. Say, an angel, I saw, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Anybody that God gave the authority to, you have power over Satan and over all the satanic forces. And God has given that authority to you as a believer in Christ, because Christ has said, behold, I give unto you power. That is the same authority. This angel that the Bible calls just an angel, how did this get so much power to be able to bound Satan? Just the authority of God. Think of a policeman on your street, my friend. That policeman may be a small young man, but once he's dressed in that uniform, that is the authority of the law. No matter how huge you are, or you are driving a truck or a trailer, no matter how huge and how terrible your trailer is or your truck that you are driving, when the policeman, that young man, that young boy or young woman, that is a policeman, stood on the road and lift up his hand and asking you to stop, no matter how huge your trailer or your pickup or your truck is, you are commanded to stop. It's the authority of the law, not the strength of the policeman. You see what I mean? The policeman may or the policewoman may not have the strength to stop your vehicle, but he has the authority of the law behind him or behind her. So that is what we are talking about. God's authority is what the angel is using. It's not a show of strength of the angel. It's the show of authority of the Almighty God. And that authority can be given to a little baby to command Satan. Satan has to obey. When you understand that, my friend, it should make you to know that God has given you that same authority so that you should be able to command Satan. He should obey you. And you have to enforce the authority by standing boldly, not afraid, not shaking, not trembling within yourself, but boldly declaring what God said. And this is what God has said to you. Christ said it himself to we believers. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is the authority Christ has given to you. Actually, the word that was translated power there, Scholars have said it ought to be translated authority, just like I described to you about a policeman or policewoman. You are given authority to act in the name of God. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you. So that the devil, no matter how huge the devil may be, he has to obey you because you are using the authority of the Almighty God. Remember that. You are using the authority of the Almighty God. Now, let's go ahead and see. So that's why I'm taking my time to describe the reason why it was just an angel. Anybody that God gave the authority to has the power over Satan. And you have the power over Satan. And Satan has to obey you no matter how terrifying he has been in your neighborhood. If you stand in the name of the Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and command him, he has to obey you. But maintain your ground and don't be afraid of him is what is most key. The key is that don't tremble and shake within you, because the devil can see whether you are afraid, and then the devil will just go on his way not obeying. But he can, even you are not afraid and you are standing your ground in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has to obey what you say. And for you, for your faith not to shake, you've got to build up your most holy faith, like the Bible said. Build up your faith by prayer and by fasting. Because all the trouble is with you and me that is trembling and not sure of what we are saying. And we are doubting God, doubting the authority that he has given to us. Just think of a policewoman that's standing on the road trying to make the train and telling the truck to stop and not sure of herself or himself, and lifting up his hand and say stop, and then he withdraws his hand and say he's not sure. The police or the car driver or the truck driver may laugh and just pass by and don't stop for him. Why? Because they know that he's not sure of what he's saying. He's not even sure whether he can stop the car. If you are sure, you say stop, that car driver or the police or the truck driver should be afraid of you. Because even if they refuse to stop, they know they are in trouble. All you need to do is to write their number down and call for reinforcement, and they will pursue the truck driver. They're not pursuing the truck. The police car may not be able to stop the truck, but the driver that is driving the truck is in trouble. And he knows that. That's why he stops. Not the huge truck, that no police car can stop that huge truck. You see, but the authority said the truck should stop. So the car driver, the truck driver must stop. And he is trembling and shaking when he sees the policeman or policewoman. But if policeman is not sure and didn't stop him, he will just keep going. So remember that you have authority. Don't be afraid of how huge the devil may look or the devilish things he's doing may look like. It may be blowing storm, but you stand your ground and the devil has to obey you. Now let's go ahead and see what this is all about. When the devil was bound for 1,000 years and casted into the bottomless pit and shut him up as three, and he set his seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now this has baffled many people, that why will God loose Satan again? Bible said this is just a test. For a little season he will be loosed, just for another trial. He was going to be allowed to try the dwellers on the earth one more time to see who is going to obey God. Now verse 4. Now this is where the saints are going to be glorified. In verse 4 here he said, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now let's talk a little bit about that. Remember the Bible said he saw thrones and he saw people sit on the thrones, and judgment was given to them. Now he said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded, which means these people that were dead, the souls in paradise that were crying for vengeance under the altar, asking God for vengeance upon the earth. He said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, means believers, that Christians that were slain and killed, and those that have not worshipped the beast, I mean they refuse to receive the mark at the end of the world, the mark of the Antichrist that will come upon the end of the world, and they refuse to take their mark of the trading system that will make them be sealed up for their doom. The Bible said anyone that received the mark of the Antichrist will go to the lake of fire. But these people that refuse to receive may be beheaded, they may be persecuted, they may be killed. They will suffer a lot for not bowing down to the Antichrist. Bible said they were allowed to live. Now that is the key thing. And they lived. What does that mean? To say souls lived means that they were resurrected physically upon this earth again. Because if they were souls, if they just mentioned them as souls, which means they are souls that have died and their body is rotting in the grave and they're just spirits being seen in heaven before the throne of God. But he said they lived means that they were resurrected again into a body on earth, their body resurrected again on earth to live physical life. And they reigned with Christ 1,000 years on this planet earth. That is why Christ demonstrated it to us that there will be resurrection. Christ resurrected his body out of the grave and took it up into the sky, which we say he went up to heaven. Now the dead in Christ will rise also, said the word of God. You can read it again to make sure that this death is not the end of it, because death, he said, will be swallowed up in victory. The Bible said the dead in Christ will resurrect. They will be raised into their body again. You can see, somebody say, how can that be when some of those bodies have rotted for 1,000 years? The bones, many of the time, the bones, they don't even rot, and God is going to polish those bones again and they will come back alive and put a new flesh on them. You can see in the book of Ezekiel, where God demonstrated to Ezekiel that these bones shall live again. And he says, prophesy unto the dry bones, and they lived again in a vision. Now, you also have to remember, I say, well, what about those bones that were cremated, they were burnt to ashes? God can make them live again. The ashes will form one another back into bones. All things are possible unto the Almighty God. And the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated it many ways by raising up the dead, and then he himself resurrected alive and took his body out of the grave. And not only that, the Bible says even he took some dead saints out of the grave from Jerusalem when the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected. In Matthew chapter 27 and 28, you see the story there, that they went out of the grave and witnessed in the city of Jerusalem when Christ resurrected. And those people were taken away with Christ into heaven. Now, the Bible said here in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13, Apostle Paul said, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is those who died physically, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, see, the Lord Jesus Christ rising again from the dead is a demonstration and a proof to us that there will be resurrection of the dead. In fact, both the dead in Christ and those who died in their sin will be resurrected one day to stand before God. But the dead in Christ will resurrect first. And this is what he's talking about here. Those who died in Christ, they have hope. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's a word of comfort to see that those who have died in Christians, that have died in Christ, they will be resurrected one day. And this is what is being told here in chapter 20. That those that were beheaded, persecuted, killed because of their faith in Christ, they will live again. And they will be given this planet to reign for 1,000 years. Maybe they were killed when they were just 30 years. Maybe they were killed when they were just in their teens. Maybe they were killed when they were old people in their 70s. For following Christ, God is going to give them 1,000 years to live and reign on this planet earth. What a bargain, my friend. Don't trade eternal life with all the few years you want to enjoy on earth. Come to Christ today, because you have a better bargain, a better deal. Those who died, who laid their life for Christ, for standing firm for Jesus, the Bible says, I give them 1,000 years to reign on this planet earth physically. They will live again in a body that shall live for 1,000 years, a body that shall not rotten, a body that shall not be diseased, because those things that are causing diseases, Satan and all its cohorts of devils, will be locked up in the bottomless pit and in the lake, or in the prison that we read in the book of Isaiah chapter 24. All those demons will be separated from the earth and locked up so that the saints can live peacefully and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. That is what we are reading here in the book of Revelation chapter 20. What a bargain, my friend. Don't trade eternal life. Don't trade this glory that Jesus is bringing for us. Don't trade it for a morsel of meat. Don't trade it for anything at all. I urge you to come to Jesus and be a partaker of this new heaven and new earth that's coming. Or even this 1,000 years trial of the saints reigning upon the earth. Don't lose it, my friend. Don't miss this opportunity. Now let's go on. Verse 5 said, but Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. I've come back to Revelation. He said, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. That is, the dead in Christ will be the first one to rise, and they will live for 1,000 years, reigning upon the earth, with those that were allowed to escape, because there will be some remnants of human beings that didn't go to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, but they just escaped the world war, they escaped the destruction of the world, and they will be the people that will be gathered all over the world to start a new generation, and they will be allowed to multiply, to populate the earth again. And those are the people that the saints of God, the Christians of this generation that have gone to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, or those that were resurrected that are coming back to the earth, these are the people that the saints of God will be ruling over and training them to fear God and to follow God for 1,000 years. Now, let's go on to verse 6, chapter 20 of Revelation. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we saints right now, we believers in this generation, we are going to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and we shall be priests of God. And second death has no power over us, because those who are died in Christ right now, there will be no more death for them. They will be resurrected and live again on this earth. And we that are alive and remain, we shall never die. Because when we are Christians and we are caught up to meet Jesus Christ in the air, that is it, we shall never die. And the time is coming that this will take place. Run to Jesus right now so that you can be partaker of it. It's my challenge to you. Now, verse 7. Now, this is the test that God has written here, that is going to be a time of trial for those that are allowed to multiply and live again on this planet for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, there's going to be a test for them. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And I was teaching a brother this thing, and he couldn't believe it. I said, well, I didn't write it. God wrote it in the book of Revelation that this is how it's going to happen. And it will happen that way. God will lock up Satan for 1,000 years, and then we release Satan for some few years to go and trouble the earth and test and tempt all of those people that have been trained and taught the word of God, to see whether they are going to stand with the word they have been taught, or they are going to rebel with the devil and try to revolt against the saints that are ruling over them. And that is what is the test. Are they going to be satisfied with the rulership that the saints have been ruling over them for 1,000 years? Or are they going to want to revolt and wanted to change the law? Because they will say, well, we want democracy. We want the election. We want to be king also. We want to rotate it. And God said, no way. This is no more democracy or parliamentary election. This is theocracy, God ruling through the saints of God. And that is what is going to be the type of thing that the devil use, trying to make them revolt against the rulership of the saints. They don't want to listen to the Bible anymore. They don't want to listen to the gospel anymore. And you think about it, many people will like to rebel also. They think they wanted to rebel against their parents that have been teaching them the word of God. They say, I have had enough of religion from you guys. See, but God is still to be worshipped. And God is the one ruling through the saints. And let's see what goes to happen. What happens to them? Verse 7 said, when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan will be loose, and he shall go, verse 8, he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, he mentioned Gog and Magog here because it was mentioned also in the book of Isaiah, or one of the prophets, that Gog and Magog is just the name of the descendants of a generation, of a people. People always assume that the Russian people are the descendants of Gog and Magog. That is the northeastern Europe. Maybe the descendants of Gog and Magog. So, in short, what this looks like then is that most of the population in that part of the world will be the first group that the devil will be able to deceive and bring them into this rebellion. And that is what the Bible is saying here. And it's going to be, they are going to be at the sand of the sea, because there will be multitudes coming down to rebel against the God of heaven that is ruling upon the earth at that time. Verse 9. And they went up, he said the number of them as the sand of the sea, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. Now what do you say, the camp of the saints? Which means the saints of God have gathered into a camp, almost like you call all the rulers of the countries back into the city of Jerusalem, or where they are going to camp, so that the devil can go and tempt all of these people that have been living for 1,000 years to see whether they will follow and try to rebel against the rulers. And the rulers have been Christian saints that are under the headship of Jesus, and they are coming to a camp waiting for this final conflict. It's going to be the final conflict, but after this there will be no more conflict. And the Bible said, and they went up on the breadth of the earth, the rebellious people, and compassed the camp of the saints about, in verse 9 of chapter 20, and they compassed the beloved city, that's the new Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem is where the saints of God will be camping, because that is where the Lord Jesus Christ will be reigning from the city of Jerusalem. That's where Christ will reign from. The Bible has said that will be the capital of the world when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be upon the earth. And that's where the saints of God will move back there to camp there like a feast. Like God has always said that there will be a feast of tabernacles where all the world will be coming to Jerusalem to worship the King. And there may be a time when they will go like that in the last, after the 1,000 years expired, God will call all the saints back to their camp and let the world be visited by Satan. And then they followed him after he has been able to convince them, and they followed him. He said he was able to deceive them. And then they followed him, and this is what is going to happen to them. Verse 9. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That is, there's not going to be a war. They just come over, and then fire came down from the sky and destroyed them all that are gathered against the saints of God. Because this is what we call, it's no more election democracy, United Nations. This is going to be theocracy. God ruling upon the earth. And I said to you, young man, and you that listen to me, you want to fear God. Be on God's side. Come to Jesus today so that you can be one of those that will be on God's side when this thing will be taking place. Because if you are on the other side, there is no hope. The Bible said fire just came down and destroyed them all. No one left. And now we're going to see what will now happen after that episode, after that conflict. There will be a silence, and then this verse 11 is going to take place. And I saw a great white throne. This is where God now is going to judge the whole world, both the living and the dead. I saw a white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now, you have to remember that the Christians were the only people that were resurrected first in the beginning of the 1,000 years. Only the Christians that were dead in Christ. They were resurrected to live for 1,000 years and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, after that 1,000 years have expired and Satan has been allowed to tempt the dwellers of the earth that were allowed to populate the world again, and they went after Satan, and they were destroyed by fire that came down from heaven. After that has taken place, now comes the real great white throne judgment, where God is going to sit and judge the whole human race. And the dead will be resurrected from the beginning to the end of the world. The dead, all the dead, not the dead in Christ, because the dead in Christ are already alive by this time, and they are going to be the one to sit with in the presence of God to judge the world of unbelievers that do not accept Christ. Even those that have just been wiped up by fire will be resurrected. Even those that have been dead from the time of Adam will be resurrected to stand before God here in chapter 20, verse 11. It's verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Now, these are the books of what you do on earth. A lot of religion are telling you to do good and so that you may be saved. But it's not your righteousness, your goodness that is going to save you. Christ has made that clear to us. Yes, whatever you are doing on earth is being written down, but what is going to save you is not what you have done. Because your sin has overweighed that already. Your sin has overweighed your goodness already. Because the Bible has condemned all as sin and come short of the glory of God. So it's not your righteousness that's going to save you. It's only Jesus Christ's blood. So you better get saved right now as you are listening to me and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is your hope and chance. And if you are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not going to be in this judgment that we are talking about. You are already one of those that are going to judge them on that day. Because for if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now, you'll be one of them resurrected with Christ to reign for 1,000 years. And if you are alive by the time Christ comes, you'll be one of them to go and meet Jesus Christ in the air. But if you don't accept Jesus now, you have to stand before God to face the books that will be opened in this chapter. And the books are not telling any good news for you. Because the only book that will tell you good news is the book of the Lamb of God, the book of life. And we see that in this verse in a moment. He said the books were opened in verse 12. The dead were judged out of the book. Let's read it again. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened. There's a special book opened, called, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. But wait a minute here. Your works is written in all the books. But there's another book open called the book of life. And let's see how these people are going to be judged. Verse 13 says something. Says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Whether they died and they were thrown into the sea will give up the dead. Some people say when they died, they wanted them to be cremated and their ashes flown all over the sea. The sea will give up their ashes. That's what the Bible is telling us. Oh, throw the ashes in the air. The air will grow, give back the ashes. And they will stand before God. Hell delivered up the dead. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Death is like a prison yard. Hell is like a jailhouse where the dead souls of men are kept. But those places will give up the dead. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That means death and hell were locations. They were like cities. They were like cities. But they are movable. That is, they can be moved. That's why the Bible says they are going to be cast into the lake of fire. They are spiritual locations that can be moved and thrown away. And that's what the Bible is telling us here. Death is a location. No, we talk about the angel of death, which is the angel that takes people to that place called death. That place is a prison yard. Hell is a prison yard. And those prison yards will be taken out and thrown into a lake of fire. So they are not physical locations, they are spiritual locations. Now he went further, he said, this is the second death. When those things are thrown into the lake of fire, that is the second death. And that, there's no coming back. And verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see that, my friend? That is the only way you can be saved, by having your name in the book of life of the Lamb of God. And that book of life is the book where the name of the saints of God, the Christians, are written. So for your name to be in the book of life, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Ask him to come into your life and make you a new person in Christ Jesus. Let him wash you with his blood. That is the only way you can get your name in the book of life. Not by your works, not by doing good works. Because all your righteousness, they are like filthy rags before God. That is what the Bible said. So it is by grace of God he is saving anybody. And he extends that grace to you right now. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the calling of Jesus to you. Won't you accept his call today? And if you are not a Christian, call and pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart and you become my Lord from today. And let my name appear in the book of life with you. Amen. And if you are a Christian, begin to aspire for the goal of overcomers, that I want to go with Jesus Christ when he shall come in the rapture. Pray, seek the Lord Jesus, seek more anointing from the Lord, and lift up your eyes unto him, because he's coming soon. Say, unto them that look for him will he appear the second time without sin unto glory. The Lord is calling you right now. Accept him as your Lord and Savior and follow him steadfastly. Seek to grow in Christ, and the Lord bless you. Write to Evangelist Julius Gospel Distribution Ministry. On the internet, you can get our literature on the website www.gospeldistribution.org, gospeldistribution.org, and we shall send you some more exhortation. Write or send email to webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. That's a one word, gospel distribution. God bless you. Jesus loves you and is calling you unto himself. He's inviting you. Won't you accept him as your Lord and Savior today and let him fill your heart with the Holy Ghost? God bless you.